Hello and welcome to Earth 911, Sustainability in Your Ear, the podcast conversation with a changemaker working to accelerate the transition to a sustainable carbon neutral society. I'm your host, Mitch Radcliffe. You know, the evolution of how people think and act when shopping is accelerating as new challenges reshape our values. From the pandemic and political extremism to the Ukraine war and spikes in the price of gas, housing, and food, people have endured enough change for one of their great-grandparents' lifetimes in less than half a decade. But events just keep coming. How are shoppers reacting, and will they give up the sustainable living priorities that were taking hold as the pandemic began? We're joined today by Erica Moretti. She's head of strategy and innovation and physical connected experience at EPAM Continuum, the research arm of innovation design and engineering company, EPAM Systems. We'll discuss their third Consumer Unmasked report. You'll find a link to that in the article that accompanies this podcast. EPAM surveyed 3,000 Americans, Britons, and Germans in late March and early April of this year, that's 2022, to understand how people are reacting to events as lockdowns end and global conflict appears to be on the rise. You can learn more about EPAM Systems and EPAM Continuum at www.epam, that's E-P-A-M, www.epam.com. Welcome to the show, Erica. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Miss. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thank you for joining us. EPAM's research has been fascinating to follow in this third edition. You're looking at whether or not people are reverting to pre-pandemic behaviors or really embracing permanent changes. And I just wonder if you could start off by summarizing what the headline takeaways are from the research this time around. What habits are here to stay?
Yeah, well, on top of the industry-specific ones, in our report, we have identified 9 main findings or themes that could actually have a cross-sector impact. Maybe I won't go through all of them because we might explore some of those topics during our conversation. But very interesting ones for me are the speed of change is here to stay. So it's a trend in itself, right? So looking at things that will remain in time is key, as well as unifying as much as possible experiences and platforms to be able to react fastly. I think this is the most fascinating one. And what we've been seeing is a shift towards sustainability as well that we didn't see in the first reports back in 2021. So moving from intention to action, it's starting to be a practice or a common practice among consumers. Those for me are the most fascinating ones. Of course, we have other ones related to loyalty or subscriptions or how retailers need to respond to cost concerns. Another interesting one in my view is COVID-19 no longer reigns, but it remains, meaning that there's still some concern on how to behave, on how to actually consume products and experiences based on the fear of COVID-19.
So do you see that sort of as a transition on the COVID in particular? Do you see a sort of transitioning mentally from pandemic stage to endemic stage as people try to figure out how it fits into the life?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, the search or the look for the new normal, right? Or what is fixed, what will remain, as opposed to what will change? Or should we care still to join gym or to join in-shop experience? There's some concern or still related to being physically in a place and be safe in that place. So it really depends on the industry, right? Or the type of experience of product. But there's still this mindset of uncertainty regarding what will change as opposed to what will stay or remain.
Now, one of the things that was interesting to see is you did this research in the April-May timeframe, and you were already starting to see some pullback in people's willingness to, the measurement you used, to spend spontaneously, particularly on food ordering and shopping. Do these signals indicate that we're headed for a consumer pullback that will also reorient people's thinking around greater value for their dollar?
I think so, yes. So much of the behaviors we've been seeing is related also to the impact that not only COVID-19, but that all the changes you're seeing right now, how they're impacting the cost of living, right? So mm-hmm. it changes the behavior, it changes the cost of living. Therefore, there's a pullback towards specific behaviors. So if we talk about food delivery or if we talk about subscriptions, mm-hmm. it's a way consumers are using to react to the new experiences and products that are being offered. So in our view, there's a lot related to this. So you can correlate those elements together.
Now,
I'm not sure I answered the question, did I?
No, you did. Here's what also came up for me as I was reading the report. You talk about two retail trends related to rising prices and perceived value. First, you suggested if retailers can't beat competing prices, they need to emphasize the value they deliver for the shopper's money. And you also suggest that locally focused values, particularly sustainability, are critical to keeping customers' loyalty. Do you see consumers really rethinking where their money is going, particularly with regard to its impact on the environment and the economic and social conditions around them?
I think so, yeah. What we suggest is communicate the value of, mm-hmm. of the products, right, as a company. Because consumers are becoming more and more focused on understanding the value for the price mm-hmm. and understanding which are the practices or values that are attached to every single product or every single experience. So for example, one of the highlights is the emergence of upcycling, repairing, especially in fashion. So if you think about 42% of consumers said they actually intend to buy secondhand. And this is an impact for high cost of living, as well as the intention of making more sustainable choices. So if those values are communicated through the product, through the service, the interest in the consumer of actually choosing those products and services will rise. They're starting to put attention on this. This is changing fast, right? Again, back in 2021, there was no intention to choose a product related that had a set of values that would communicate sustainability or social mm-hmm. responsibility. Now it changed a lot, and this is super fast in the way that consumers are seeing the products, the services, and the brands they're choosing.
Well, you use the phrase super fast, and that's the other, I think, important finding for me as I read it as well, is that the speed of change itself is a trend. People are getting used to it. Does that suggest that society is more prepared for the rapid changes we need to make in order to achieve a low or no carbon society? Are we ready for that kind of sea change in our life and experience?
Yes, I think speed of change, as I mentioned before, is maybe the most interesting one in my view. Mm-hmm. So this applies to how much people are prepared as well to this type of change. So the mentality regarding change is accelerating as well. People are starting to comprehend that necessity. It's not fully there yet, but a sustainable mindset, it starts to be comprehended. And more than anything, start to be visible in the brand strategies, the services, the products. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true when referring to new generations or to specific geographies, as for example, Germany. So we've been seeing the study that Germany has been taking the lead on that. So it's happening, it's still not there fully, but we can see that that speed happening in the mindsets of the consumers.
Are there particular areas in the industry sectors that you focused on that you see that change being expressed? You know, you talk about the willingness to go into physical settings like a gym being changed by COVID, but are they also rethinking the whole idea of going somewhere to exercise? Are they investing more in their home and home gym as a result of that? And are there opportunities in doing so to be more sustainable as a household and the customers orienting their decisions around how can I reduce my impact versus how can I participate in and get value out of the services around me.
Again, I think we're not fully there yet, right? So as a consumer, it's very difficult for you to understand the impact of a choice you make.
Yeah.
Because not fully aware of the overall chain that actually needs to happen for you to have a lower impact. I don't believe at the moment, or we don't see that at the moment in the report, that's necessarily correlated.
Mm-hmm.
So how the need to exercise or to be on a physical location as opposed to be at home or recreate an environment at your own place. What we can see are choices regarding specific products, as for example, upcycling or recycling or resold products, marketplaces that are being used to find more sustainable options. But I don't believe that we are there yet on understanding how much impact we're reducing or creating, or how can we manage that? I think we're missing this piece of experience in products and services.
Well, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. Just that as a consumer, as a person, I miss the tools that I could use to actually evaluate my impact and manage that. What I can do as a consumer is do conscious choices, right?
Well,
so I can choose a material. I can choose a brand that communicates certain types of values or has a social responsibility or ESG programs. But I'm still not able to fully understand the overall chain.
Well, and I think where you see that in the results that you report is that people are doing follow-on activities, upcycling, choosing to buy used versus new, and repair as things they're looking for in the product. All of those are after the fact, but you're really talking about the fact that we don't have the information to make a more informed decision about the sustainability of the product or service itself. How do you counsel brands at this point to communicate what they're doing? You also just used the phrase brands that express sustainability, but those expressions may not be based in fact. And that's really the challenge that most of the consumers that we talk to at Earth 911 have, is they don't understand what levers they can pull. How can companies work with their customers to improve that decision-making?
Some companies at the moment are starting to experiment, right? So again, with upcycling, repairing, especially in fashion and household items, what they can do, and they're starting to do, is to communicate a choice, right? So for example, I was seeing the other day an article showing Nike's shoes that actually communicate how much impact those shoes had on the environment.
Right.
What are the materials, how they sustain the communities, and how what is the carbon impact of the production of that specific sneaker? And this is being communicated on the label of the shoes. So you always have that information with you. How to communicate that? How to express that very clearly? You can see some airlines already communicating that. You can choose flights that has a reduced carbon impact. So companies are starting to communicate those values, are starting to show how the overall value chain is supporting a sustainable decision. But I still believe that we need to be used to see those types of informations. When this becomes common, when you start to see in the different brands, the same types of communications, you're going to see a major impact on the mindset of consumers, because they will get used to see and choose based on those informations.
That information needs to be comparable, though. And do you see standards emerging for expressing, for instance, the impact of a pair of shoes against all shoes? That really is the big challenge that we see, is how do you quantify the difference? 12 pounds of CO2 emissions for a pair of shoes, for instance, doesn't necessarily mean anything when you compare it to the rest of your life. So what do you see in consumers' questions or responses as you talk about sustainability. In terms of their questions about how they make better decisions, I don't know whether you've been able to cull that insight from the surveying you've done.
In this specific survey, no, we were not able to view those insights specifically. But that's a really nice point. It's a really good point, and it's something that we can definitely chase for in the next one. One interesting thing about what you're saying is I totally agree. We miss a parameter. We miss ways to understand what that impact looks like. So it's a topic that's been addressed in utilities, in energy, mm-hmm. for a long time now. Especially when you talk about the metrics of energy, right? So how do you show that to consumers? Maybe an impact of X percent of carbon impact means 3,000 trees being planted mm-hmm. in your neighborhood. So you always need to translate those metrics, those numbers, into something that people can actually comprehend. So this way you can make a better impact or a bigger impact on their mindsets. So this is a trick we've been using with utility companies for a while right now. But you're right. We do need a parameter or a metric that's comparable, that you can understand if a choice is more sustainable than the other one. For now, we're on the stage of we're seeing consumers understanding that those choices are worth the money they're paying for. And therefore, they can choose better products or better services based on the few information they have at the moment. But this is starting to be common, and this commonness will change the mindset regarding the choice of product.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how that mindset evolves. I want to take a quick commercial break and talk a little more about this. We'll be right back. We're back to continue talking with Erica Moretti of EPAM Continuum about the third Consumer Unmasked report. So, Erica, following up on what we were just talking about in terms of comparability, it's going to be a while before even one industry is consistently comparing all their products and then thinking about across different industries so you can rearrange your carbon emissions based on better choices. It's going to be a ways off. But in the meantime, what kinds of actions are brands taking that consumers find to be sustainable? What do they call out as responsible business behavior? And conversely, what do they see as greenwashing? Are there issues or claims that companies should be aware don't fly with consumers?
Absolutely, yes. What we're saying in the report is that sustainability is moving from intention to action, right? Mm-hmm. So we can see this when it comes to upcycling, recycling, as mentioned earlier. Our researcher shows actually that different factors would make consumers stop buying from certain brands. So for example, more than 50% said that they would stop buying from a brand if they have been reported to treat staff badly mm-hmm. and advertise values that are different to consumers' own values. 26% said that they would stop buying if brands only use social movements to advertise rather than truly support a cause. And it's especially higher between Gen Z. So it's the difference, the gap you have from the intention to action. What you're really communicating needs to be performed as a brand mm-hmm. for consumers actually trust your brand and continue to make those choices together with you. So you know all the polemics regarding delivery services, treating bad their employees,
right.
Or some claims of support of causes of diversity, inclusivity, that are not necessarily translated in their experiences, their stores, or the overall set of products and services. So I guess what consumers are looking for are brands that actually communicate that and act upon that.
So, and do so in a concrete, measurable way. It's interesting that Generation Z is actually this aware of it, but that's the progress of history, in the sense that people are becoming more aware of their impact, but they don't yet have a way of expressing or measuring or talking together about what that impact actually is. How could consumers and companies get together to create a dialogue to establish some shared metrics that everybody could use? Do you see an opportunity in maybe crowdsourcing this problem?
I think so. I think there are many movements today. There are many groups or communities of people that are very interested in creating this. Mm-hmm. So I think a starting point in the companies is being ESG programs, right? Mm-hmm. So every single company starts to create their own metrics, and that's a start. However, you need to be conscious on the fact that people need to understand what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. And they need to be able to compare that. So I think co-designing those metrics with consumers, with users, with people, will actually take us to a much better place and a very interesting set of metrics that could be used by overall all the industries. Today you have circularity guides, you have regenerative mm-hmm. guidelines for companies. We're missing the metrics, you're missing the way to actually manage that, understand that, and compare. So I think co-designing that with users, with people, would be a nice way to go, and transforming that into guidelines for companies in general that could be applied for every single one. This can start from a government or a public administration action, but it can start from companies as well.
It'd be designing great to see that
and applying that to the different brands they work with.
I'm curious, does EPAM see itself in potentially a position to facilitate some of that interaction and co-design?
Yeah, absolutely. We're fascinating with this topic, especially lately. And I come from a design background. Mm-hmm. All design thinking or strategic design environment. And we used to co-design or use collaboration to actually create things that are understood and managed by different sets of actors. So I guess this can be a facilitator. And of course, we would love to support this. And we're implementing our own actions to actually start changing internally the mindsets as well, and to be able to apply this mindset to the clients we work for.
It's hard for a lot of brands to have that dialogue with the customer, because they tend to, their practice is to define their value and then go market their value rather than to have a dialogue about what their value is. Do you find that there's a new generation of leadership that is willing to be at risk like that?
I think that actually the new generation of consumers are changing, is changing the new generation of leaders, mm-hmm. that they're forced changing the values of the company. So some companies have a clearer space to do that. It's much easier for them, especially companies or brands that are grounded in culture or grounded in the human, right? Or the groups or the communities. Think about sports apparel, for example. It's facilitated for them to talk about groups, to talk about diversity, to talk about sustainability, to talk about movements.
Right.
For other companies, more traditional companies or more hard types of companies, this change will be difficult to see. But it's something that is forced by the economic situation. It's forced by the new sets of users. It's forced by some international or governmental regulations that are starting to be activated. So it really depends on the company. It really depends on the maturity of the leadership. It really depends on the set of consumers they have. They have different maturities in different stages right now.
It's also the difference between seeing the company as monolithic or the brand as monolithic versus diverse. Or multifaceted. Brands have been very well defined, and that's something that for different audiences leads to varying degrees of engagement and loyalty too. Being a more diverse company in all the dimensions that that might mean, also really recalibrates the company's interaction with society and how responsible it feels to the society, which again brings us back to a whole series of questions in business thinking about what the role of the enterprise is versus it's the role of the individuals in society. One of the changes that you talk about, and it's, I think it's an area where there's a lot of opportunity for give and take between consumer and company, is in subscription services. And in particular, one of the things you found is that food delivery has become an embedded habit with the British, German, and American consumers that you were surveying. Do you see the delivery business as an opportunity to really focus on reducing waste and emissions? In the case of food delivery, food waste could be reduced pretty dramatically with certain kinds of planning. What does EPAM see as an opportunity in the ability to track deeply the interactions between a customer and a brand?
Yeah, we need to consider when regarding food delivery, mm-hmm. that much of this started as a COVID effect, right?
Yep.
So due to the impossibility to leave home, this behavior was accelerated. So we say in the report that the level of comfort in returning to stores and malls also appears to be shaping hybrid shopping attitudes. Mm-hmm. This means that it raises the usage of subscription services, food delivery, so everything that started during pandemic. But it opens up the possibility, as you're saying, to start understanding that data as well, to start understanding that behavior. Mm-hmm. So there's much that could be improved in the delivery business as a whole. So the usage of alternative mobility with low or zero emissions, or the usage of non or bio packaging, or being as local or closer to the consumer as possible, mm-hmm. to reduce the delivering time and therefore control the footprint as well. In some cases, even offering discounts for returning the packaging as the bottles, as it used to happen in the past, right? As we're starting to see that in some food and beverage companies, that they're starting to take a look on the overall chain and start reducing the impact of those different touch points that you have in the overall delivery experience. But there's tons of opportunities to reduce and to analyze that data and therefore to offer better or lower high impact, depending on the impact we're talking about,
sure.
Experiences to consumers. You need to understand the data though. Right.
Well, and that data is really, that's the serious problem, is that we have a concern about our personal data being abused on the one hand, and on the other, corporations have tended to be hold their data very closely and be not transparent. Transparency between all the parties in the economy, which could be anonymized, is one mechanism for making clear how wasteful we are being. Do you see consumers potentially being willing to share more personal data, like what they did with their product after they bought it, whether or not it was recycled or they returned the material to the producer? All of that is, are we ready to share that kind of information with one another?
I think this is a natural evolution on how we see data. Right. So if you think about moving from Web 2 to Web 3, this will naturally happen. So you need to be conscious and you have to have that transparency on how your data is being used and therefore how your data will give you new services or better services mm-hmm. that are grounded in that data. So I think naturally this will change. But companies should and are starting to show the usage of that data, starting to be transparent on that, especially because of the different regulations, right? But it's something that still needs to happen systemically. And it's something that can definitely help you manage better how you use or how do you behave as a consumer, or how would you manage your impact, or how you choose the products that are being created by using your data. I think as consumers, we have the responsibility of asking for how the data is being used, how this is helping me have better services, better experiences, better products. On the other hand, in the companies, there's the need of show that, and this is part of the value we were talking about before. How right. do you communicate the value in a product? Oh, well, you helped me shape this product, you as a consumer, with your data. So we've created that based on the fact that yourself is starting to behave and use experiences like this. So I think it's a two-way road to actually move the way we perceive the usage of data and companies actually use them.
And a consumer can take the position that if a company isn't listening and responding and sharing what it's learning, that they don't want to do business with them. So there's a real opportunity to achieve the co-designed economy that you were talking about earlier in the conversation. What is your advice for a consumer who wants to make the biggest impact on the sustainability of the products and services they buy? What should they do? Is that reach out to the company, reach out to the retailer where they shop, or something else?
Yeah, as consumers, challenge or ask the businesses to adopt sustainable actions. So giving them feedback on a purchase or an interaction with the brand. So mm-hmm. even a small post in the social network talking about the usage of a new type of packaging would be valuable, or a new type of delivery, or a small action that that brand actually has given to you during a purchase, during an experience. So choosing sustainable options or brands, checking the causes that are being supported or the movements that are being supported, mm-hmm. Incentivize this movement. Share when the companies have done something for the environmental or societal good would be a great start. Or it takes a movement to change and impact drastically all the system. Even because it's very difficult to build that system. It takes time, it takes money, it takes a mindset change. So I guess we'd need to start asking for that as a consumer.
And I think this is a great place to end the conversation, because you have a fourth Consumer Unmasked report coming up that's going to cover even more of this. How can folks follow along and get an alert when that's available?
Yes, we do. It's coming up in the next few weeks. We have planned different consumers unmasked talks and roundtables with business leaders, where we talk about pieces of the report or discuss other emerging themes. So I would suggest to stay tuned on our LinkedIn or website page to check the next appointments and the next reports to come.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Sure, no problem. My pleasure. Always happy to talk about that.
We've been speaking with Erica Moretti, Head of Strategy and Innovation, as well as Physical and Connected Experience at EPAM Continuum, which is the research arm of innovation, design, and engineering company EPAM Systems. Their fourth Consumer Unmasked report will be out in the next few weeks, and we'll add a link to that in the article that goes with this podcast. You know, folks, what we heard here is a remarkable opportunity for all of us to co-design our future. We're used to, at least from a consumer perspective, to be told, here are our options and choose from them. We have the opportunity here to start to shape what those options are. And the future is something that we can make together rather than just being given a set of options and making our choices. So get involved. Talk with the companies you shop with. Talk with the retailers that you shop with. Talk with the restaurateurs from which you order dinner in the evening, if in fact you're one of the folks who are beginning to have a lot more food delivered at home. But change is a mindset, and it's a mindset that, as EPAM found, is increasingly prevalent in society. Let's use that momentum to do something new, and let's all do it together in an equitable and just way. This is Earth 911, Sustainability in Your Ear. We're going to be back with another interview shortly. In the meantime, I hope you'll take a few minutes to share this podcast and all the others that we've done, more than 230 now, with your friends, family, people that you work with. Let's get this conversation going. Let's co-design the future. More ideas will result in less waste. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, take care of yourself, take care of one another, and let's all take care of this beautiful planet of ours. Have a green day.